Joining us on the phone this morning is John McLaughlin, and I'm excited to have him on the line. I suspect he could be of great help in helping us decipher a lot of the albums, pardon me, that we have in our music library by Gaelic or Celtic artists, albums with song titles we can't even begin to pronounce. He has an Irish language speaking and study group here in town. They meet every Wednesday at Carmody's Irish Pub, and all experience of Gaelic speakers are welcome. John, thanks so much for joining us this morning. What an interesting, I wouldn't, at least until I listened to MN90 this morning, I wouldn't have thought that there were a lot of Irish people necessarily in Minnesota to begin with.
That's true. Thanks for having me, by the way. Pleasure to be here with you. And yeah, there are actually quite a number of folks with Irish heritage in the area. As for the interest in the Irish language itself, that's still developing. A lot of folks are sometimes surprised to hear that there is a distinct Irish language. And we're just doing our part here in the Northland to help develop our skills with it, see it foster, and help to see the language flourish again.
This morning on MN90, it's a feature that we pick up from Ampers. It's about a minute and a half about interesting facts about Minnesota. They talked about a bishop whose name actually was Ireland, which I thought was interesting, that really wanted to establish, he felt that America was the place for the Roman Catholic Church, and he really wanted to establish an Irish population in this country. And so he was encouraging farmers to come from Ireland to America. And there are several little towns scattered through Minnesota with Irish names that were originally apparently populated by these folks that were invited by this bishop. The things that you learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about the language. I'm a real fan of words, so I'm always interested when I can take apart an English word or recognize in an English word, or a Spanish word or an Italian word or a French word, there are pieces of this and that that help me identify it. But when I look at Gaelic words, song titles, that sort of thing with artists, not only do none of the words seem to make any sense with regard to anything I'm familiar with in English, it's like, okay, here are a combination of letters that you think make this sound, but they don't sound anything like that.
For sure.
It's the wackiest language from that standpoint. It's like, how did you get this sounding word out of that collection of C's, E's, and A's?
It does look pretty crazy at first. Believe it or not, though, once you've learned the general rules of how Irish is written, it actually makes a lot of sense in itself. And in fact, it's a lot more consistent than English spelling, which is just a nightmare for a lot of
exactly.
Language speakers.
So where does the Irish language come from? Again, you know, what we think of is the Romance languages, Spanish, French, and Italian kind of have similar histories and origins. Where does Gaelic come from?
That's right. Irish Gaelic is part of the Celtic branch of the Indo-European languages. So most languages from Europe fall under that larger tent of Indo-European, and then different branches come off from that. English is considered part of the Germanic branch, but it has a lot of Romance borrowings, French words, Latin words borrowed into it. Irish, on the other hand, is part of its own separate branch that's called the Celtic branch, and it's more related to languages that are a lot smaller nowadays, like Welsh and Breton and Cornish and Scottish Gaelic, with which it has a ton in common. But historically, these languages were much more widespread all across the continent of Europe, but nowadays they are mostly limited to small communities within those respective.
Isn't the longest word in the whole wide world Welsh?
Yes. Yeah, there's infamously a town name somewhere in Wales that is several letters long. It's pretty ridiculous. Pretty awesome.
I know that we've talked about that once in a while. And I wonder if we didn't actually have somebody on once who did name the town. Things begin to blur. So When you open, when you say, hey, let's have a study group and let's learn the language and speak the language, are the people who come to the study group, do they want to be fluent speakers? Are they, or were they ever fluent speakers?
We really welcome people from all levels of ability to our study group. We mainly meet up and we'll just kind of catch up for a little bit first, go over any news. We like to bring books that we're interested in reading right now, whether it's just kind of on Irish traditions or culture in general, or more specific to the language. And then we'll just have kind of a time to review and go over new aspects of it and just make sure everyone's kind of at the same pace. And, we have a couple people who are very much more, I would say, kind of intermediate level with the language, and then other folks who are total beginners, and it's all good. We're just plugging along a little bit at a time, and again, just trying to get ourselves used to the language and kind of bringing it back to life among people of not only Irish heritage, but really anyone from any background is welcome, as long as you just have an interest in it and it's a thing that fascinates you.
When you try to teach a language to people, and I'm thinking about, you know, for example, all of the Ojibwe classes that are available to folks. When you are trying to teach a language, though, to adults, do you need to kind of start at the beginning the way you would if you were trying to familiarize kids with the language? Or do you need to start in a different place or maybe teach a little bit differently because, well, adults, our brains are old. And
sure.
So we have old brains and you have to repeat everything, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Right.
But adults frequently have different reasons for wanting to learn the language. And some people, of course, you know, would find their interest waning. They'd be bored or frustrated if you started, you know, at too rudimentary a level. How do you teach?
Sure.
How do you kind of help somebody relearn their culture as an adult when it comes to language?
Absolutely. That's a great question. When it comes to adults, in the study group itself, our focus, since we're all together right there, is mostly on just relearning some basic conversational tools so that we can even just talk about the weather or recent events, the basic things going on in our lives, what you did last weekend, just so that we can focus on that element. But I do offer private lessons, and I find that to be probably the best way, especially for adults, to go forward, especially if, you know, you're just at, you know, working 5 days a week or whatnot, and then you can focus just one-on-one with a tutor. And I find just a real individualized way of going forward to key into, for one, if the person has former experience learning a second language, because then certain concepts and skills come a little bit easier just because you're familiar with kind of the technique.
Right.
But also what sort of area the person is particularly passionate about. And sometimes when they're coming to the Irish language, it might be the wealth of history and literature that comes along with it. And so we can start attacking it from that angle. Or it might be the wealth of Celtic mythology, which is just expansive and very mystical and enchanting, and we can come to it from that angle. And so there's all sorts of different, very unique ways that you can approach it. But I think the key is honing in on where your passion lies. And that's going to really fuel you through to study it.
So, for example, if you were fascinated with Irish poets and wanted to read Irish poets, you wouldn't be as concerned with being able to speak fluently as you would be with being able to read and appreciate the poetry.
And it would kind of go hand in hand, but, you know, we could start learning the basics and the vocabulary and along the way come to it from an angle of the poetry and be adding Irish poetic works to our reading list and working on learning the vocab from that point of view.
If folks are interested in just listening to the music of the language, are they welcome to come and sit in on the study group? Can people
Absolutely.
Come in and observe you studying, I guess, is
yeah.
the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is welcome. Yep, definitely. And really, even sometimes the first steps in learning a language are just being able to sit there and experience it, to listen to it, hear it almost kind of in an immersive way, And, yeah, everyone is welcome to come. Also, there's so many resources online. The Republic of Ireland itself has gone to a lot of efforts to bring strength and help foster their own language. And so there are resources online such as TG4, the Irish News Network, that's done entirely in the Irish language, and a lot of online newspapers. So, yeah, I really encourage people to look online for resources, and also, of course, come on over to Carmody's on Wednesday night and speak a little Gaelic with us.
If folks want to get in touch with you, John, what's the best way for them to do that? Or if they, you know, if they want to double check, you know, about the time of the meeting or anything, do you have a social media presence or anything where people can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Just go ahead and go on Facebook, and you'll find us at Irish Duluth.
All right. Fantastic.
If you want to send me an email directly, it's irishduluth@gmail.com.
All right. Perfect. So we'll get that information available to folks so you will be easy to find. And I suppose I could ask you to say, it's a lovely Northland morning in Gaelic. And that's spelled with all C's, E's, and A's.
With a couple dashes over the letter.
Exactly. John, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a pleasure.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
John McLaughlin, our guest this morning here on Northland Morning. And we'll get a bunch of the links to the resources that he mentioned, plus John's contact information about their Irish language speaking and study group. So it'll be easy for you to find more information when you're looking.